Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a March edition of The Only Podcast. I am your co-host, Austin Smith, joined by your other co-host, John Kirby. You can follow us on Twitter at ACSmith06 and at John_Kirby. And as always, follow the mothership at Believe Network. Today is Tuesday, March 19th, and guys, the tournament is here. And guess what? BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You know who you won't be watching there? Purdue. But you can still access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. And guess who you won't be tracking for long? Purdue. Head to the BetOnline. And by the bet online, I mean bet online today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code Believe, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. What game, you ask? That's right. Hockey. John, take it away.
We got a lot of sports that you find on bet online. We got hockey, got women's hoops.
Oh yeah.
Men's hoops team snuck in the tournament there, but the hockey sign. We should sit for a moment. And the one-seeded Spartans advanced past seven-seeded Ohio State in Munn Arena. It was a wild scene, 2-1. Advanced to the Big Ten championship game Saturday, 8 o'clock against arch rival Michigan. Have not won a title since 2006. Adam Nightingale has turned this program around in two short years. This might just be another opportunity of a slew of banners Adam is chasing this year. Wrapped up the regular season title. See if they can do the tournament title. And then who knows what's next, Austin? Ranked number 5 in the country as of today. Will be a favorite in the NCAA tournament. They got the Mo. They got Mo right now.
But it's important. It's important to have Mo, especially in hockey. And I can say, they'd say the only thing better than one banner is multiple banners.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, Adam Nightingale's got to really separate himself. There's a lot of good coaching going on at Michigan State. Mr. Nightingale, certainly one of those actively good coaches. But you know who else is doing a good job, John? Robin Fraelich.
It's so true. We went over her accolades before the Big Ten tournament began. Best season since 2015-2016 season as far as wins go. Fourth place finish in the Big Ten year one. And got a ticket to the Big Dance. It's a 9 seed. Taking on North Carolina is the 8. In a game that I believe is 10:30 a.m. on Friday. So guess what, friends? You have no excuse. It's there. It's going to be on ESPN2. Get a dose of that, and then pick your poison as far as what type of hoops you want to watch the rest of the day. But, hey, man, it's been a minute. Feels like since there's been some positive mo in the women's program department. Now, while they don't necessarily have a higher seed than they normally have gotten, it does feel like the ceiling on this program has been raised quite a bit already, just seeing as what's been done in year one versus, you know, this was kind of, you know, something that shouldn't have been taken for granted under Susie Merchant, but nonetheless, just couldn't find a way to pass to the second weekend after a long stretch. So is this going to be the weekend? Well, Austin, it would be one to remember because they would have to beat South Carolina. 32-0 South Carolina. And hey, look, listen. I try and spin zone with the best of them, okay? But this one's tough for me. The Gamecocks are cooking right now. But hey, got to play the games, right?
I was just going to say, the only spin zone you need is to say, that's why they play the games. That's it. It's the best way to justify any David and Goliath type of matchup. And again, beat North Carolina first. You know, is that so much to ask?
Sure. Yeah, is that hard? Like, and we should touch quickly because women's basketball has, you know, really had a nice glow up this past couple, it feels like. We've talked about this too. There are more famous women's college basketball players than any men's college basketball player right now.
Oh, big time.
Like, a bunch of them. But, yeah, Dawn Staley's crew, you could argue, has now officially could cement it this year with a Final Four. Probably a championship would do it for me. They've slayed Geno in the UConn dynasty. And is it Geno Packwatch? I mean, I don't know, man.
I mean, did UConn women's basketball die so UConn men's basketball could return from whence it came?
You know what's crazy? Like, we talked about this, I think, last time. I'm trying to remember. Would you sacrifice Michigan State football to have the success that UConn men's and women's basketball have achieved? You have to be UConn football forever.
Oh, in order to have UConn. I don't know what my answer was last time, but that's a very difficult question. I'd consider it. But there's also the other side where it's like, we always talk about, is it even fun when your team is that absurdly good? I would rather have
– the answer is yes.
The answer is absolutely yes, but I'd probably rather have like what Michigan State has just with one more championship attached to it. Like, okay. I really think that might be better because then you don't flush all of the fall. Like, football's so great. And having, like, even if your team's bad, as we well know, you still love the sport. So I guess maybe I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here. But I put it this way. I'm very glad I don't have to make that decision.
Well, dear listener, have a think about that one over your next few brews. Because it's a good topic for discussion. So, Geno Packwatch, as we mentioned, MSU, unenviable draw. The women's tournament, but, you know, any 9 seed can do it. It's them or maybe the men's team is, but before we get to the tournament, let's go backwards really quick. Get a lot of new listeners, I think, during the, March Madness episode.
We forgot to do the
CBS, and I can't go back.
Now go watch the Tim Robinson skit. That's better than anything we could put in here.
Well, okay, let's give some context, even to the hardcore listeners who already know what we're talking about. It might be a little new detail you didn't know. Tim Robinson, comedian. I think you should leave on Netflix. Fantastic, in my opinion. Not fantastic, like my wife's opinion. But the point is he was on SNL once upon a time, and like the only skit I think he ever got pushed through because he's so weird was the CBS basketball
Brownball Rock.
Brownball Rock, yeah.
Yeah, he was John Tesh's weird brother who wrote the song Brownball Rock, which in this skit has words, and the words are blah 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 basketball, and it's. We can't possibly do it any justice here, but just take our advice and go watch it because it's just the and the best part is Tim Robinson, super, like you said, incredibly weird guy, big Lions fan. So yeah, we sync with that very much so. That's what a perfectly weird Detroit celebrity to have.
Did you ever watch the Detroiters?
I never watched a significant amount of it. No, can't say really that I have, but I know it was him and Sam Richardson, and they
really were, good.
It was apparently very funny.
He is. It's really good. It's about two ad dudes in Detroit who like inherited the business from their dad and now are failing miserably because they're super weird. So
it checks out.
It's pretty awesome. So while we've made our way to Tim Robinson sketches all the way back to MSU and friends, had an interesting year, started the year with high expectations. Man, were they high. And now that we have the opportunity for reflection, even though the season isn't over, it's interesting where MSU sits as a 9 seed in this NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I believe a 10 seed in the NCAA tournament. And really nothing changed with the exception of the absence of Joey Hauser and the addition of four freshmen, one of which is redshirted, one which is not able to play because of an injury, non-basketball related, and two guys who didn't see the floor very much. So in essence, you got the same team ran back, and guess what? It's the same kind of seeded team. And shame on us, maybe, potentially, I don't know, because they seemingly didn't get a ton better. Tyson Walker has done well this season, just as he did last year. Malik Hall took a step forward. No one else seemed to do so, with the exception of Trey Holloman. And MSU seems to struggle against most, if not any, team that has a front court scoring option. Most recently lost to Purdue in a game that was a bit different from other losses, in that MSU out-rebounded Purdue and seemingly had a fluid center position defensive idea from a doubling standpoint throughout the game that effectively has worked against Purdue in years past. There is a little bit of hope and optimism considering how well they played against the best elite big in the country, that perhaps they could continue at that pace against lesser opponents. But here we are, kind of lumped our way through the season. Only a couple good wins, to be honest. Neutral win against Baylor. Home win against Illinois. Again, doesn't do much for me as a program fan. You beat Illinois at home, I kind of need you to do that. Beating an NIT team like Indiana State, regardless if they should be in or not, is their third best win. And that's it. Like, you have a bunch of, I guess, quote-unquote, good losses.
Mm-hmm.
And some not-so-good ones, but, again, they're not so good by Michigan State standards, not as much metrics-wise. And you have a 19-14 team who no one wants to play, Austin.
Yeah.
Because they are Michigan State. So playing Mississippi State in the first round, first game. But before we get to that, I want to go back again because there was some news that broke we wanted to touch on, I think, right?
Yes.
Juwan Howard, I believe he was in the headlines of late.
He was. I mean, probably the last time he'll be in the headlines for a while because he is no longer a NCAA men's head basketball coach, relieved of his duties after an 8-win season in Ann Arbor.
And relieved. I love that.
Yes, this is one of those where I sort of liken it in a way, except where he actually had like real success in his first couple of years when he was before he had to recruit. And there's so many things to take away from this. Like I liken it to the like when for, you know, the old head football fans, when Brady Hoke and Rich Rod got let go by Michigan football, like,
yeah,
it was one of those things where you're like, this is awesome. They finally admit defeat. It's over. And then you're like, well, now they kind of have the chance to get it right again, which actually sucks. And, you know, exactly. Lo and behold, they ended up doing it. Despite the fact that those were 3-4 win football teams, this is seemingly should be a faster path back, but feels like a deeper hole because this is a, like the complete and total vacuum around this program is pretty stark. I mean, Doug McDaniel, probably the only player really worth much in terms of anybody building a new roster is already in the portal.
Yeah.
And it's just
their second of three commits decommitted today.
Yeah. I mean, they are truly whoever wants to take this job. And listen, they will hire somebody with some prestige. I mean, that is a program that not all that long ago, again, we're talking about Sweet 16s, Elite Eight, Final Fours. You talk about a program not living up to its expectations. I mean, that is maybe the most stark example across the nation. No matter how you slice it, though, as a Michigan State fan, it's very funny and very enjoyable. And, you know, I hope they hire somebody bad at their job and that it keeps going like this. It's more fun this way. We have to enjoy it. And I do think there's a little bit of perspective here. So I kind of want to jump back a little bit to what you were talking about. You started summing up the season. Another program, again, I want you to think again. I know they beat Michigan State twice this year, but think about Northwestern. Okay. Northwestern just made the tournament in back-to-back years for the first time in program history. And they're a 9 seed, which I don't remember what their seed was the last couple of years, but I don't think they were higher or much higher than that. They couldn't have possibly been. So you know who else is a 9 seed this year? Michigan State. Mm-hmm. You know who else just had one of the worst seasons in the last 26 years, all of which they've made the tournament in? Michigan State. So I had maybe a revelation that everybody else had before I did just before the show, which was I am a total snob because this team has driven me absolutely insane thinking about them, watching them play for the last 3 years. And I just have to give perspective sometimes. And I remember, wow, this is pretty insane, the type of program that we do root for. And when you're, and again, we'll talk about Mississippi State, but like that's a team that doesn't look a whole lot different than MSU on paper, and they're thrilled to be here. Look up and down the Big Ten. Look at the teams that didn't make the tournament this year. I mean, I was just looking back through the standings, and I'm just going to pull it up here in real time so that I don't botch it. Okay. So elsewhere in the Big Ten, these are big-time programs, okay? Indiana, Iowa, Ohio State, Maryland, Michigan. What do those teams have in common? Those teams didn't make the NCAA tournament this year. Like, those are big time programs. Iowa had a 1 seed and a national player of the year within the last, what, 5 years? They've put top 5 draft picks in the league within the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, Indiana's allegedly a blue blood. Michigan's, you know, one of their all-time best players was running their program. And yet they all don't make it. And yet here we are sitting here unhappy and privileged. So I don't know, maybe a little bit of dose of perspective, everybody going into a weekend after an admittedly very frustrating season. And one last thing, John, is that, listen, they knew how to pick it when they went for having a bad season. Because this is as mid and as NBA playerless in a college basketball season as there may have ever been in the modern era. So kudos to Michigan State for nailing their off season.
You know, you're totally right. The perspective is necessary. And especially at this time of year, I harken back to Sunday evening as the brackets were announced. I'd love a play-by-play of where your head was at. I'll quickly give you mine. The second pairing, I was panicked because Florida Atlantic was an 8 seed, and immediately that meant, well, anything we thought to be true may or may not be.
Yeah.
And as more and more funky seeding things happened, it really hit on tilt when Gonzaga was at a 5, and it was like, oh man, now the volatile radar is so out of whack that you could say Michigan State is an 8-9 game, maybe a 7. Why not? We're just making stuff up right now, right, Daddy?
Yeah.
Or just not in the tournament at all. Like, it was that volatile all of a sudden. And so that was where there was a lot of clenching around Spartan Nation. But I'm curious how you were going into the final commercial break when I think a reality or at least for me, the reality of the potential that this is actually potentially happening was setting in.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like this happened the Aaron Henry year too, where they were the last play-in game that was announced.
Yes.
And that one to me felt worse than this one, but there was a very real moment, I think, when they got through the second bracket and it was like, I don't know, someone's 9 or 10 went, and I'm like, oh, like when they weren't in any of the Dayton games, any of the play-in games, I was like, they really might not have gotten into this turn. I think I texted you, so we really might not get in.
That didn't help, by the way.
Yeah, no, I'm aware. I wasn't trying to help. I was trying to drag you down with me. And apparently I succeeded. But yeah, it was just, I mean, I knew it was going to be a tense day. Quite honestly, like, and this is where, like, I struggle with the perspective, because being a single-digit seed was a pleasant surprise. Because then it turns out, like, MSU wasn't even really all that close to the bubble, if you really look at where they ended up, like, seed-wise.
Two type seed lines away.
And that's with a bunch of automatic qualifiers getting stolen by teams that were not projected to make the playoffs. I mean, I know, like, Loyola lost in the A-10. I mean, NC State won 5 games in 5 days to win the ACC. Like, bids got stolen all over the place, and yet MSU was still comfortably clear of the line. So, yeah, I don't know. I was scared, but it turned out probably didn't need to be.
Well, I hope that the team was scared, and I hope that they felt that, I don't know, we run out of ways to try and get these guys into high gear. I mean, at least this is a new way. Who knows if it'll work, but
mortality. Yes, their very mortality as college basketball players is the only way forward.
I'm throwing the kitchen sink at this thing at this point. They do get in. We will touch on a Mississippi State preview. I would love to go back and maybe. Well, first I was curious. Who do you think Juwan Howard? We were talking Juwan Howard higher.
Sorry.
Who do you think they're going to replace with? Like, I'm curious, not who Michigan fans think, but, you know, a rational person.
Yeah, I mean, well, my first thought is I got to think they're calling Phil Jackson. That's probably the first name that's on a lot of lists.
I see that. Yep, that makes sense. Make him say no.
It just checks out, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have a lot of – if I'm a Michigan fan right now, I am terrified. Like, you know, listen, you can deal with having this season. It's over, whatever. It's done, right? Like, this has been a garbage program. Before John Beilein, at certain points in time, like, you know, it's not as dire for that reason necessarily. It's but at the same point in time, like – this is the big decision that needs to get made, and you have to nail this hire, or you end up, this doesn't become the blip. This becomes like the program again.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there's an obvious fit, because while the thing that would scare me most if I was a Michigan fan is the fact that Ward Manuel is the one making the hire, because if you look at his track record, it is not pretty. So I don't know that, you know, I would feel super comfortable with him being the one that's pulling the trigger on this hire. And it's for a variety of reasons, because I don't think they as a university are going to throw the bag at a huge coach, which from a prestige perspective, they definitely could attract. I think Michigan State fans are naive if they don't think, you know, someone that's a very high caliber coach would get a call. I'm not saying like Brad Stevens or anything stupid like that, but like, you know, I think if you put in a call to a handful of the best, I don't even have any names off the top of my head, but like they can go one of two ways, basically, and go for that elite, elite coach that, you know, call Jay Wright type of thing. They're not going to drop the bag I don't think that's going to get them a guy like that. And the other thing, the risk you run is that anyone less than that, this is a program from scratch. I mean, they have nothing coming back to this program. They're going to have, like you said, one recruit.
Maybe two, excuse me.
Okay. Either way, there's a decent chance both one or both of those guys decommit in this, the way that college basketball works now. Like, you don't have any, you have literally no foundation. So if you don't bring in a guy, the likes of a Jay Wright or something.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Akin to that, you look at Louisville. You get a hire wrong. you hire Kenny Payne. I'm just saying, get it wrong, and Louisville is as proud or prouder a program than Michigan over the course of the last lifetime, and they are case in point that it can go very, very badly if you get this wrong. So they need to get it right. I have no idea who the right guy is, but here's one mistake they can't make, and then I'm going to give you the mic. I think college teams need to stop hiring NBA head coaches or NBA affiliated coaches. Period.
Okay.
I don't know how many examples there are, but Juwan Howard is the latest to me of
Mike Woodson.
Mike Woodson. That's the other one I was trying to think of. NBA coaches don't develop talent, really. Like, they get the thing. Way to think about the NBA is like the two or three best players in the conference every year, maybe. Are the guys like across the board that make and play in the NBA? Like, you're starting with such an insane level of talent that talent development is not like a priority for an NBA head coach. It's a little bit of scheme. It's more honestly like personnel management than anything else.
Yeah.
That does not translate. Yeah, it doesn't. But like when you're a college basketball coach, you might be dealing with a roster of guys that like don't have strengths. Mm-hmm. Like, you might have a bunch of dudes who can't shoot and all you can do is rebound. How do you drop some type of offense that's going to like make this palatable for you? And Tom Izzo is one of the only historically guys that can do it. And he never coached in the NBA.
Because he had a philosophy that was adaptable. I couldn't tell you what a Juwan Howard team is or does.
Right.
I could tell you what a Michigan State team is and does. Maybe not as well as it used to. But defend, rebound, run, Michigan State.
Football equivalent, John, is Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker is the same philosophy. Just get as much talent as you can. The rest will figure itself out. Listen, I'm not going to lie and say we didn't subscribe to the fun theory at the time. But in retrospect, like the Jonathan Smith model might work a little better.
Well, and so you ask who they should hire. Their fan base, I don't know how many of them, a lot of them. Or keep asking for John Beilein to come back. That man is 70. Yeah. That man is trying to live his twilight years. Leave that man alone.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that because I'm afraid. I mean that because that dude, it took a while to get the engine running when he got there last time. And it is in as or worse shape as it was when he got there last time.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone's thinking that John Beilein coming in and preaching, you know, help side defense and, you know, like, listen, buddy, it's a long way off and he's old and this game has gotten a lot weirder and different and more dynamic in the past since he's been there. So you know, if you want him, good luck.
By all means.
I mean, I don't know. I would say that to your point, that one place that is often too underlooked in my eyes are smaller university head coaches. I mean, like D2, D3, like come up through the ranks that way. I mean, Beilein was that, to be honest, and that's why he was.
He was.
I mean, you got to find a guy who has come up that way, I think, and especially as there is less and less NBA talent in college because of the competing leagues, G League, overtime
league. I mean, case in point for you, John, is, I mean, look at the Big Ten. Look who just won the Big Ten tournament, Illinois, Brad Underwood. Brad Underwood won at Stephen F. Austin and was somewhere before that, too. I mean, those are the types of guys that more or less make up most of the great coaches in college basketball for the most part. But typically, it is a rise through the ranks type of profession still.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He was back in 86. Back in like 86 is when he started coaching at Hardin-Simmons in Georgia.
Jeez.
In college all the way up, the whole way. So, you know, it's not the only path, but one that probably makes the most sense. A lot of people are saying, oh, who's the hottest name? I'm sure there'll be a new hot name after this tournament, too, and that'll be the number one guy. I think you need to look at a body of work, though, not just a one season. But anyway, enough about them. You want to talk about the other programs that are playing this weekend in a big boy tournament?
Sure. Let's go for it.
Okay.
So
one name, Dusty May. That would be a name at Florida Atlantic.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
That would be a very good one. Yes. So that's the first of, well, not in terms of timeline, but the first, we're going to go upper left, lower left, upper right, lower right. Upper left, Northwestern in the 8-9 game in that region, taking on Florida Atlantic. Seems like sort of a tough draw. Florida Atlantic, a team that was in the Final Four last year.
Oh, yeah. Florida Atlantic may be seated a bit higher than people had thought, but a Final Four team with everyone back, it's hard to overlook. Northwestern, down Tyberry. I think they're hoping to get Matt Nicholson back. But still, down your second-best scorer. Boo-booey, though. Booey versus the world.
I mean, listen, the last fan base in the world you need to convince that one man can change the fortunes of a team is Michigan State.
Did you hear on Robbie Hummel during a senior night where MSU beat Northwestern?
No.
The Izzo was just kind of giving it to Booey because he had airballed a shot. And they were giving it to him. Minutes had gone by, and then he had taken a shot. He even made a shot, and they were still giving him air ball, which is like
good.
Going beyond. Usually that's like the end, right? Like you make a shot, then we're done. No, no. And they kept going, like during dead balls, kept going. And Robbie Hummels, he's like, I love this. Also, be very careful. Like you are doing the one thing that might be bad. So
playing with fire.
We were. I love it, though. So Florida Atlantic seasoned the Owls versus Chris Collins and a Northwestern program that, like you said, kind of trying to establish themselves as tournament regulars. What do you have in this one? I think I'm trying to look up the spread real quick. It's a really good game. How do you feel about, before you answer that, Big Ten fandom in NCAA tournament?
I have never subscribed to it.
Okay.
Anyone that's listened to this show for any period of time probably understands that. I will say that that's never – it's never really registered for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're not – the only way it makes sense to me is if you're not, like, a huge if you're not, like, actually a diehard fan.
You're not that. Sure.
Yeah. Like, your kid went to school at Illinois, and so you're kind of like, oh, I'm a fan of the Big Ten, whatever. Like, that's fine. That's probably the much healthier way to go about life.
You should keep doing that, by the way.
Yeah, like, you're doing it the right way, for
sure.
Don't
be like a...
Just don't. Yeah, no. But if you're like, you know, I've long said one of my longest held beliefs is that sports is about being petty, and there's no better way to be petty than to take, like, inappropriate amounts of pleasure when the teams you hate the most and play the most often lose. Like, I have enjoyed watching Purdue lose in the NCAA tournament so, so much. Like, it's been so funny every single time. I'm not going to get down when teams I don't like lose. because you did get the conference a bad reputation, like I could care less.
Right.
So yeah, no, I hope every Big Ten team except Michigan State loses in the first round. It'd be awesome.
I love this. Like, I love when people are like, well, they won't respect your conference. Okay.
Okay. I don't work for the conference. Like, I'm not a Big Ten employee.
Maybe they shouldn't. Maybe we suck. Like, yeah. Just because I'm rooting for something doesn't mean, like, it's going to happen. Like,
if those teams win, then now they hold that over your head.
Yeah.
Now you have to be like, guess what? You play in the conference with the national champion. Like, damn, like that blows on so many levels. So no, I don't subscribe to the conference fandom theory.
So you're in on the Owls is what I'm hearing.
So I'm an Owl. Yes. I'm a big, FAU buff this year for sure.
Hoot hoot. All right. Hoot. So that one is, Owls 2.5 point faves. Feels about right. I tweeted this a long time ago. I just want to get it on the books. That Northwestern will not be favored in their 8-9 matchup, but should they win, I feel that there's an 80% chance that they win their 9-1 matchup.
Well,
so
that would mean that they would take down this year's number one overall seed in UConn. So you want to go on the record and say that if Northwestern wins, they're going to beat UConn.
I think there's a good chance.
You heard it here first. I'm not going to let you answer. You heard it, folks.
Yeah. I'm saying yes. Because Northwestern is that team. Like, they are – they will not win this game, but if they were to win it, I think they'll take down. Anyway, it doesn't matter what I think. Continuing forward, let's see.
Illinois. Big Ten tournament champion Illinois takes on Morehead State, consistently the funniest name college to make the tournament, and which they do with relative frequency. Phil Sims, can't pretend to know much about the Eagles. Have watched Illinois a handful of times, and it appears as though Terrence Shannon makes a bit of a difference when he plays, huh?
Here's all you need to know. They have one of the very few NBA players in the entire tournament on their team.
Yes.
That matters a lot. Also, they have competent guard play in Domask, who is also first team.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a wild card player, which will work against them, and he will be the reason that they lose in this tournament. But he'll also be probably a reason that they win a game that they shouldn't. And that is our dear friend, JaVale McGee of college basketball. Blanking on his name. But
Dane Danger?
Not at all. No.
Mm.
So close.
Oh, Coleman Hawkins?
Yeah. Coleman Hawkins, who's been an NBA prospect for like 4 years. He's going to figure – he does look the part, I will be honest. But it's just – sometimes he gets overly emotional and it affects the game in bad ways. So if he can keep it in check, they are a serious contender. But then again, Illinois hasn't made the second weekend in like 2 decades. So
Wow. Is
this the year? And that's a basketball school.
That's another one. That's another one where you're like, wow, we made it last year with a bum. Like,
oh, man, that's a year we try to forget.
Yeah. Like I'm not even kidding you when I've thought to myself that I was a little upset that they made the Sweet 16 last year, because I was like, if they hadn't, could we have avoided and had maybe more realistic expectations coming into this year? Like, that thought, I'm just being honest. That thought ran through my head. I was willing to sacrifice a Sweet 16 year, something they have not experienced in 20 plus years, you're saying.
I want to say
because of my pettiness.
I want to say it was you. Can't remember. It was a little hazy. It was a post midnight conversation where something along the lines of, did beating Marquette set Michigan State back?
Pretty sure that was me. And that was probably the exact genesis of this thought that I had.
There's some folks. Let's just hear some.
There's some
We gotta hear both sides.
There's some mental health questions that we need to be asking about me after such a, like, again, this is where I'm like very willing to admit my sickness.
I was agreeing with you. I sat there that night and was like, oh.
You might be onto something.
This has been it the whole time. And
much success.
Illinois, they literally have not been to the Sweet 16 since that 2005 championship run, which is the only thing they've ever done. That's the last time.
That's so crazy.
We've been to four Final Fours since then.
Man, I'm pretty sure Luther Head Jr. has passed through college since then.
I think his kid's being recruited right now.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if that's true, but it probably is. So
Darren Williams let down like four different franchises since they've made it.
Poor guy. Dude.
He's catching strays.
Yeah, poor guy. Man. So that's where Illinois is at. Like, if you ever feel bad, that's why. So, and here's the other thing, like, I've noticed, like, MSU Twitter is like, man, Illinois Twitter is the most annoying and insane. It's like, yeah, guess what, guys? You'd go insane too if the last time you went to the Sweet 16 was 2005 and you're a basketball school.
Yeah, dude.
You got to drop off. You got to stop being a fan at that point. Like,
it's there's the question, right? Like, in that time, they've also employed Bert Bielema and Lovie Smith and all of those things. Like, imagine making the human sacrifice to be a great basketball
player. That's right.
And then also not getting to the Sweet 16. Despite getting, like, I think they had at least one number one seed when they had Io and
yeah,
the very, very large center.
Loyola beat that.
Chicago. Right.
With
Kofi Coburn.
With Farva at center.
Oh, yeah. Like, that was the good stuff.
I mean, you, like,
that's, dude, this is a hater's paradise. that's what I'm saying about college. Like, that's what March Madness gives us more than anything else. So for those of you with high morals rooting for your conference, you are missing out on just a litany of hater moments that are pure, raw, uncut hate. Join us. So much. It is so much more fun.
It's the problem with when we're talking about Northwestern back there is like, yeah, we can hate them because they're an annoying thorn in our side. But at the end of the day, like, they don't actually affect our team's success.
Nah.
But so it's harder to hate them and say Nebraska or Minnesota maybe. And
yeah.
Trying to think of any others or Penn State basketball. It's like, sure, like, do whatever you need to do. Illinois, like, they stake their rep on this, and same with Purdue, and it's hysterical.
Purdue's better. I enjoy Purdue more because of how unquestionably great, like, they have had the highest scoring player in school history, lost to a 14, 15, and a 16 in his career.
My God.
Like, that's such a special brand of loser that I can't even, like, fathom.
And then,
like, Zach Edey, oh man, we'll talk about it, but like, truly, what a worthless legacy if they lose again.
Let's jump to it.
Yeah.
Why not? Purdue taking on Montana State or Grambling. I'd like to pause there, and that's certainly a matchup.
Yeah, we just need the arena cam for that one. I don't even want to watch the game.
I just think people could learn a lot about each other in that
setting. I think people will learn a lot about each other in that setting.
So Purdue takes on the winner of that one. Can't look past it, as we learned.
They certainly cannot.
You know what? Time out. Are you mad that they didn't make St. Peter's the 16 in this?
Like, yes and no, because, like, I love that there's a new flavor of disgust. Like, I can't wait for there to be, like, to add another name to the Rolodex of programs that's beaten this Purdue iteration is going to be very fun whenever it happens.
A lot of great options.
I mean, dude, I've never been less fazed, like, by what is an unquestionably great player. The rest of that team does nothing for me. There's not a single player on that team aside from Zach Edey that legitimately you look at and you're like, oh man, that's a good player on a championship team. It's not there. It doesn't exist. And that's not going to win you a national championship, which should be their goal. And if they can't do it this year, if they out-loser themselves on a scale, which I would have thought was impossible, then they truly should just shut the program down. I mean, the bracket that they have, that they got served on a silver platter by this committee is almost embarrassing. The only thing more embarrassing is the way that their games are officiated when they're playing in the Big Ten, but I digress. They have the 5 seed. We'll go to the 2 seed. The 2 seed is Tennessee. So your 2 seed's a Rick Barnes team.
Rick Barnes.
I think, yeah, which again, ignore the fact that Tennessee is an objectively very good team with some great players.
So is Purdue.
So is
Doesn't
Purdue.
Matter. Doesn't yeah. matter.
The number 3 seed is Creighton. I don't need to go further. The number 4 team is going to be a Hunter Dickinson less probably, or at a minimum, an injured Hunter Dickinson having Kansas team. And the number 5 team is Gonzaga, which is the worst iteration of Gonzaga we've seen in 10 years. I mean, if they can't do it now, just fire everybody. Like, you know who might be the next Michigan head coach? Matt Painter, if they lose this game.
You're right.
It would be horrific.
You're right. It goes Rick Barnes, third best team in the Big East in Nebraska, worst Bill Self team since I can remember. Worst Mark Few team that I can remember. South Carolina as a 6 seed. Yeah, I can't take that seriously.
Nope.
Texas as your 7 seed. Like you said, we're done here. Like, if you can't do this, maybe this isn't for you.
Yeah, maybe it's just time to shut the whole thing down. It's a good thing it's a good engineering school. Zach Edey has something to fall back on.
Good for him.
It's just, I enjoy how bad they are, though, I have to say. It's very fun.
Well, let's pop down south, Nebraska. 1.5 point favorite against the Buzz Williams Texas A&M Aggies. Nebraska, happy to be here. Texas A&M, very happy to be here because they were bubbly. What do you think? Is it the mayor's time?
Yeah, I got to say, I won't pretend like I was the most dialed in this basketball season. I looked at the Big Ten standings at the end, and I saw Nebraska in third place, and my jaw hit the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, unquestionably the third best team in the conference too. I'm happy for him. Weirdly, I don't really know why, but I love Kisei Tominaga so much.
Oh, yeah.
And he's so much fun to watch that I like, this is the perfect example of what you were just talking about, where it's like certain programs I don't actually hold ill will towards. Like, it's Nebraska basketball.
Go nuts.
I don't care. Like that's a team I could probably get behind and like, sort of root for. So I'm personally pulling for them. I like Buzz Williams too. I don't think he gets his due as a pretty darn good head coach, but I hope Nebraska ball can get it. That would be fun.
Well, should they win, their date would be with 1 seeded Houston, Final Four contender last year, number 2 overall team in the tournament. But I don't know, man. I think Nebraska, if you just believe in it enough, maybe it comes to life. And I think we're going to leave it at that.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Now, as we move down to the 5 seed Wisconsin Badgers, taking on the James Madison University Dukes, a Duke team that took down Michigan State in the first game of the year, game doesn't look as bad anymore. It doesn't look good, but back to, we just gotta focus on the good things.
We're here.
James Madison, 31-3. It's a lot of dubs. But Wisconsin 5.5 point favorites. What do you think here though?
This feels like James Madison written all over it. I can't fight it. I can't fight it. They went into the Big Ten. They went into East Lansing. They won that game early this year. Like you said, they only lost three games the entire season. Wisconsin's due.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Or they've been far too offensively competent for my liking and for my comfort level. It feels as though there's that like total like bottom falling out type of game waiting to happen. And you just know James Madison's going to play with absolutely no fear whatsoever. So I can't shake that at the same point in time, given the way that they kind of played down the stretch. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Wisconsin won. Tough draw, man. If Wisconsin does manage to win, they got Duke and then at the other end of that bracket. And I mean, Houston's a legit good one seed. And then, man, Marquette, Kentucky as the 2-3 there. I mean, that's tough draw for the Badgers.
It is. Like you said, James Madison, most well known for their win in East Lansing. He said, fortunately for us, doesn't look quite as bad as it did. They're on a 13-game winning streak. This would be their second 13-plus game winning streak of the season, if you're keeping track at home. They did not actually win the Sun Belt regular season conference, which is hard to do when you're 31-3, but they did win the conference tournament, punching their ticket. So it is a tough draw, but at the same time, Wisconsin feeling a lot like Michigan State in a lot of ways, I imagine, thinking like they left some games on the table. And they put yourself in this mess to have to play someone like James Madison. So, let's go Dukes. See what happens there. Dukes. And that's all of them except for your Michigan State Spartans taking on the MSU Bulldogs. And I guess it's a battle for the MSU.
The Rocket Watts Bowl, some are calling it.
Shout out Rocket Watts for making it to the NCAA tournament with Oakland.
Yeah.
Another team Michigan State beat that made the tournament. That helps.
Not bad.
Mississippi State, Southeastern Conference foe, happy to be here, like you said. They're feeling really good about the trajectory of their program right now. Back-to-back NCAA tournament appearances, I think it's the first time in, 30 years or something. Maybe it's not that bad, but when you think of college basketball, people do not think of Mississippi State. KenPom, 30th overall, 4 wins against quad one opponents to 9 losses, 22nd adjusted strength of schedule. They're okay on offense, 60th in adjusted offense for reference. Michigan State's 53rd. 20th in adjusted defense for reference. Michigan State is 8th, and that is why Michigan State is a favorite. Opened at 2.5. It's about 1.5 right now. I bet it'll settle around 2 once people start to look at the brand name. And they start to lay down their bets on Thursday. First game, Austin. What do you think about being the first game? What do you think about this game overall?
Yeah, before I even dive into the actual game, I wish Michigan State could play in the first game non-play-in of the tournament every single year. I think it's the ideal outcome, especially in a year where you don't really enjoy watching your team all that much. Mm-hmm. Which just so happens to be this year, because at the end, by, 1 p.m. ish, 1:30 central, either we get to proceed with 2 straight days of stress-free entirely like peak enjoyment level. There's nothing better in March Madness than watching games after your team has won.
Yeah, it's the
best. It is the best feeling in the world. Even if you're the second to last game, that last game, you're riding high. And now you have the chance to do that 12. For two straight days. Like, it is beautiful. It's bliss. And then depending on how you get scheduled the next day, you might even have some other games to enjoy. And guess what? If you lose, praise God, it's finally over. And you just get to once again enjoy the rest and realize this is, we don't have to suffer together anymore. It's like Andy Dufresne on his knees when he makes it out of Shawshank. He's just staring up into the rain saying, dear God, I'm finally out. It feels like that's how I'm going to feel one way or another after this one. I want to advocate for Michigan State to be in that matchup every single year. In terms of the actual game, from a profile perspective, in terms of like strictly kind of what you ran through, not necessarily personnel, it feels like very similar teams. You kind of said it about Wisconsin, certainly true for Michigan State. And I think Mississippi State as well, played in a lot of tough games, played in the competitive conference, SEC probably almost definitely a better, actually certainly a better conference top to bottom, way better represented, especially on the top seeds. And they, while they didn't, they weren't near the top of the conference necessarily, they beat a couple of pretty darn good teams. But they also lost a lot of games where they had opportunities. I mean, this team beat Tennessee twice, including recently last weekend in the SEC tournament when they beat Tennessee by 17. Big game. They beat Tennessee earlier in the year at home when, where is Mississippi State playing? Damn it. They beat them.
Starksville.
Stark Vegas. Damn it.
I knew I had it in there.
You knew. It's late. But they beat Tennessee there before. They also beat Auburn when Auburn was ranked number 8 in the country this year earlier in the season. More recently, they lost to Auburn by 7 again in the SEC tournament game or in the SEC tournament. A lot of other ranked games across the course of the season, pretty much all of them, actually all of them losses, 2 losses to Tennessee, lost recently to South Carolina, another loss to Auburn, a loss to Alabama. Didn't have much of a non-con schedule to fall back on. Did beat two Big Ten teams in Northwestern and Rutgers. But, I think they got by because they had a couple of marquee wins. And I don't think that that's all that dissimilar to Michigan State. Plenty of opportunities, only came through on a few. This team definitely less balanced from an offensive perspective than Michigan State. Josh Hubbard, is really the thing that makes it all go for them. Leads the team with 17 points a game. It's pretty much all he does. I mean, 2 rebounds, less than 2 assists a game. Doesn't move the ball a whole lot. This team in general doesn't move the ball a whole lot. They don't have a single player averaging 3 assists a game. So a lot of ISO-ish ball, post-ups with their second leading scorer, Talu Smith. He missed a decent chunk of the season, but when he has played, has averaged 15-8. This is a team that also does one thing well, and John, I know you wanted to dive into it, which is more or less a death sentence for Michigan State most nights, and that is they offensively rebound the ball quite well.
They do. I think if there's any hope for a Michigan State fan is that you watched MSU out-rebound Purdue. And then the game prior to that, Minnesota, who had a front court advantage with Pharrell Payne and Dawson Garcia. So you can start to feel good about the fact that Michigan State, I think, hope is figuring it out as far as a front court rotation. You can go look at the minutes for yourselves. Not going to dive in because I don't want to come down on anyone. But the fact of the matter is Xavier Booker is starting to see the floor more. His athleticism is bothering opponents, not necessarily at the rim as much, but just in general, from an offensive standpoint, he's just a different looking type of dude. Mm-hmm. We talked about the college basketball landscape doesn't have a ton of professionals, and when you have the body or potential or are, you stand out. And I think Xavier Booker's athleticism stands out. He could be something that hasn't been really taken into consideration as you compare these two teams because he just didn't have enough sample size. Talked about Josh Hubbard, their guard, do-it-all scorer, freshman. He scored 18-plus points in 8 straight games. I mean, this guy is doing what Tyson Walker has done as a senior but as a freshman. Lot to like there. And then, as you mentioned, though, you know, what got us to the point to begin with was they have a very solid option at the forward center position, and that's just, like you said, been a lot of trouble for Michigan State. Can they survive it? You know, is this the first game of we've ever seen where Tyson Walker wins the hero challenge? He hasn't in the past. Every time he scores 30-plus points, MSU loses. You know, they've got to get over that hump, and if they don't, that's just who they are. But I would like to think it doesn't happen against a team like Mississippi State, simply because Tom, you know, has been here before, and while Mississippi State was in the tournament last year, I think there's just something to be said about experience when you have a game where you're so evenly matched. It's pretty simple. Keep them off the boards and get your runouts and you're going to be okay. They're going to let you pass the ball. They're 329 in giving up assists per game. Like, they're seemingly fine with letting the balls move around the court, and I don't know how that means that they're necessarily not switching enough or if there's bad communication or what, but it's just an odd to see a strong defensive team with that type of assist rate. But you said Michigan's, like we talked about, Michigan State is even better. They've been playing really good defensive late, has to continue. I think there'll be something to be said for both these teams not playing opponents that they've seen since January. But this is going to sound like, this is why you come listen to us. It comes down to the fact that can Michigan State hit shots? They've something that they've been struggling with. I mean, it's the difference. I mean, they're going to give you the 3-point percentage wise. They're not very good at defending it. But I think we just need to see something on Jaden Akins. We need to see Tyson Walker just be his normal self. And A.J. Hoggard is being given a gift in the fact that they allow so many assists per game. This is a time for him to have 8+. It's all on the table. Like, it's right in front of you. And then, you know, do what you need to do and beat, you know, a team like Mississippi State, and you have the opportunity to play North Carolina. Before we get to that, anything jump out to you statistic-wise for Mississippi State? Anything personnel-wise you want to touch on?
I think you hit it. The offense rebounding for Mississippi State is, again, the thing that jumps out at me. And it's, you know, this is the thing about Michigan State is that historically, like, it's the same profile of a team, right? Get out and run, which means you rebound well. And typically there's pretty good outcomes. Give up second chance points, which they have done a lot, you know, over the course of this season, and you can't get out and run. And then you have to rely on your shot making more because you don't get as many looks at the rim. It's all the same. Mm-hmm. But you said it where, you know, this has to be a game where this guy shows up and this guy shows up and this guy shows up. There is no tomorrow anymore. And if that can't be what gets these guys up, then their careers will be over. And it'll be really sad. Because we'll feel like we wasted some opportunity because there's some really talented dudes on this team that, listen, I'm glad for them that they get to fly a Sweet 16 banner. That is very cool. That will never go anywhere. But
there's no banner for that. Just want to go on record.
Yeah, mental banner. But like that's, we can be honest and say that, you know, if they were to lose this game, you would feel like there's some serious unfulfilled promise from these groups. And that's just the honest reality of March. And I hope that they feel that. I think you saw, like you said, in the way that they battled and showed some life against Purdue in a way that many people probably didn't see coming. Played a couple really tough games down the stretch. But this is one of those teams that you keep are like, okay, now maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the time. Well, guys, there's no more of that. This is it. This is the time, or it's all over. So, I think, like you said, I hope they can do it because of Mississippi State and Michigan State. Like, it shouldn't come down to brand name, but it also should come down to brand name. So, just go do your job and let me enjoy my 2 days in peace.
Come on. I said this to, our dear friend, Sarah G. Shout out Sarah G, by the way. She was like, when MSU got let into the tournament, to me, it felt like my kid got into college and it was the last college he applied to. And I was like, thank God. Just like, now go away. And I just like, they're your problem now. You're like telling the university, take care of it. I will pay you to take care of it. Make him a man. And like, he was just like, thank God these aren't the guys that broke the tournament streak, right? And,
oh my God.
But I think at the same time, there's something deep down sicko gross in all of us that would be terribly annoyed, but also not blindingly shocked if they were to do something silly and win a couple of games. I misspoke earlier. I said Mississippi State was not great at allowing 3-point shots. That's the opposite of the truth. Sixth in the nation in 3-point percentage allowed. That said, spin zone, Jaden Akins shoots much better when someone is standing in his face. So he's going to have to make a lot of those. Transition game is all that matters. But as I mentioned, segued and then ran away from segueing back to North Carolina is next. Should Michigan State move forward? Now, we won't give it a full preview just because you never know. But North Carolina, if there was a number one seed draw, is the one you want. The fourth of three one seeds. And I think the last time they played was the PK80. And MSU beat the hell out of them. And then before that, I think it may have been the Miles Bridges, Nick Ward freshman year in the NCAA tournament where they got absolutely tatted in the second round in a 1-9 game. So that was a while ago. So North Carolina, they're pretty solid, as you can imagine, a one seed. But the reason they're solid is Armando Backhat's back for the ninth year. They have RJ Davis, who's arguably the best, you know, guard in college basketball right now.
Yeah.
Got really nice role players. Trigger warning for some of our friends, but Cormac Ryan, Notre Dame's 3-point specialist,
is transferred
here. 6 threes against MSU last time they played. So it'll be really exciting to potentially see him again. And then Seth Trimble, another name you might know, and Harrison Ingram, a transfer from Stanford. They're just really solid up and down, pretty decent at everything. I'd like to think that Armando Backhat, who is a huge problem and liability for Michigan State simply because he's a front court person who can score, he gets bothered by length a lot, and he's a large man, I have to admit. But when you're 6'11", 240, that's a lot of beef. But the length has always bothered him, and that's where his shortcomings have always been. The only person with length at Michigan State is Xavier Booker. Otherwise, you're just starting to concede some buckets, and then you're leaving three open with Cormac Ryan and RJ Davis, and I just don't think that's a path of success. So I'm not saying Xavier Booker needs to guard him the whole game, but I think you need to see what happens in that scenario and see if he's bothered by the length. Got to try some new different things to beat a team like North Carolina.
I'm curious if will Paxson Wojcik choose his school or his family? Mm-hmm. That's the only question you really have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Because if it's family, then Michigan State might just have already cracked the case. But if it's school, when UNC loses to Michigan State, you know, I don't know if that kid's getting invited home for Thanksgiving.
It's time to start tampering right now, and I am offering him a graduate assistant role on Michigan State staff should he tank in his...
Without question.
How many minutes per game does he play?
Some.
He's put, 8 minutes a game. That's enough to tank a game.
Oh, easily. I've seen Matty Sissoko do it in way less than that.
What do you think his 3-point percentage is?
33? 19.2. Oh, yeah. Prime candidate. This is a sleeper cell written all over it.
I know. He's already been bad at it. Just like, we're going to let him he's going to get open looks and he's going to be launching and they're going to be like, oh, yeah. Why?
It's time to be bad for money, Paxson.
Shout out Temple to getting to the American finals after a year's worth of point shaving.
Yeah, way to go, guys.
Speaking of point
shaving. We've always said you should cheat. Just don't get caught.
I love that Temple, like, threw it in for the regular season and was like, none of this matters. We might as well make some money on gambling. And then made it to the conference tournament finals and like, well, no, we actually want to play in, like, the NCAA tournament. Like, we're just going to make some money. Is that a problem?
Is that a big deal for you guys?
Yeah, why is that bad? We're covering the gamut here. Hey, maybe we should wrap with some Final Four predictions?
I think we should. Would you like to go first or would you like me to go first? I'll go first because yours are probably more educated than mine.
I haven't filled out a bracket, so.
Okay, neither have I, so we're on real time here. All right, once again, upper left, east. I've done some research.
Your own research.
Listen, I'm open. I'm considering running with RFK, so, you know, you just don't. You have to be open-minded. That's good. Going with UConn, reigning national champs, number one overall seed. I watched them recently, which is more than I can say for most of the teams in this tournament, and they appear to be very, very good. I feel like a kid again with UConn as a number one seed, which isn't always great for them because they've lost plenty of those. But I think they've got a very good shot in this bracket. So I'm going with UConn up there.
Pause there. Name a late 90s UConn player that you remember.
Emeka Okafor.
Khalid
El-Amin. That was literally the next one. I saw his face. Caron Butler.
Mm-hmm. Rip Hamilton.
Rip Hamilton. I mean, I could do the 2000. Dude, I loved watching UConn way back in the day. They had studs up and down the roster. They were awesome.
Sick unis, too.
Sick unis. Hashim Thabeet. Never forget watching Michigan State beat him in person. That was fun.
Can I, quick story, I promise it will be fast.
Please.
Senior year, capstone class, Edong Ebok in my class, group project. My man had some stuff to do. He wasn't always available. I get it. Tom is demanding. We passed the class, the group project. We passed with flying colors. Don't worry. Edong, your contributions will be done on the court. Final Four comes around. Edong Ebok was needed against Hashim Thabeet. And as the story goes, Edong shut him down. As I look at the box, it looks like Hashim had a nice night and Edong played like 8 minutes. But know that those 8 minutes were brought to you by this group project.
That's absolutely perfect. thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
Extremely appreciated.
Always nice.
Wow. We're finally contributing. Okay. So that's that bracket.
You got UConn.
West.
Are you going?
I mean, everybody knows where I'm going with the West. I'm not going to pick Michigan State because I've negged them all year. I'm not going to stop now. I'm going to pick Arizona. Mm-hmm. And I've never been more certain that this will backfire in spectacular fashion. And the reason for that is Caleb Love. Caleb Love is the most, he could carry them to a national championship, but in all likelihood will carry them to an early exit.
Yep.
All you need to do is really look at the game he had against Oregon in the Pac-12 tournament where he came out. They only scored 59 points. My man went 2 of 11, 1 of 7 from 3.
He's been checked out.
Scored 6 points. And, you know, the Ducks went ahead and won that one. I'm still going with Arizona, knowing full well they're probably losing to Nevada in the second round.
Where do you think, I mean, those beers weren't going to drink themselves in Las Vegas, okay?
Come on.
Let Caleb live a little bit.
Yeah, Caleb, listen, this man almost chose to go to Michigan this year, like this year. So we're not going to say his decision-making is the best, although he did swerve out of that and ended up in a pretty good spot.
Have you noticed North Carolina's done quite well this year after he left?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's weird. Okay, so on that side, I've got UConn, Arizona.
Yep. Oh, God.
Okay, on the other side, here we go. It's the South. I'm going to, once again, do the thing I always do and take Kentucky. Sure. This year's Kentucky team is very fun, though. I really like them. You talk about, okay, NBA draft prospects. This might be the only team that has two, for better or worse, that are actually on this team playing quite well. And neither of them are the leading scorer. But Rob Dillingham and Reed Sheppard are two guys that are legit. Reed Sheppard has been incredible down the stretch for his team. He's averaging over 50% from three. He had a game against Mississippi State not all that long ago where he scored 32, going 11-14 from the field. Stud, Rob Dillingham, lightning quick, point guard freshman, averaging 15 a game. Like it had 27 against in a loss to A&M in the SEC tournament recently. So they went out early. They're nice and well rested. They are taking on Oakland. So there's a little bit of
our baby boy Grizzlies. We love
them.
We love Grizzlies.
We're rooting for them, but I'm just rolling the dice here. I also just simply do not believe in Houston, Marquette, or Duke. So which is really why I'm going with Kentucky there.
You mentioned two NBA players, which is huge. The only other team I think in the entire tournament with potentially two is Colorado, which is shocking. Cody Williams might be a number one overall pick. So if you can watch him, he's raw, but he is.
No, they're the first game the last game of the first four. Colorado, Boise State.
Sorry, I didn't mean number one pick. I meant he's the number one potential player in college basketball. Maybe a top five. You know, who knows? But
for sure,
he's right there. It's very long. He's Xavier Booker, but a little more complete. But anyway, cool. Keep going. Yeah, glad we could talk about that. Keep going.
The Midwest, I truly have no idea. So. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make the pick, and I know it's going to backfire. So I'm really just like I'm picking four teams that will almost assuredly not live up to their status here. And I'm going to go with Tennessee. Again, I'm going to roll the Rick Barnes dice in part because I'm picking Kentucky on the other part of the bracket.
Okay.
And so
that'll be
my final four matchups, UConn, Arizona, old school 90s final four matchup, and then Tennessee, Kentucky on the other side, backyard brawl. And I could probably get behind any of the teams that won.
I love that. I'm glad for you. You went Rick Barnes. You did the ultimate fatal. And you just said, let's do it.
I mean, dude, I took Rick Barnes in Arizona. Like, I'm asking for it.
I'm happy for you. I'm going to just pick four different teams for the sake of it. I'll go Auburn in the East. Mm. I think they got disrespected by winning the SEC tournament and nothing happened. I know that they didn't play the best draw. Now, the SEC isn't the best conference, but 4-seed was a little low in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I will keep going down the list. I don't think Arizona's serious. Baylor is unserious because they lost to our team by 25.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama's unserious because it's just a track meet and you can't win four straight track meets, much less six. I'm going to go St. Mary's, and
no,
I really think that going, they didn't lose a single game. They lost one game they shouldn't have. They lost at home to Gonzaga, which would have been an 18-0 WCC season. I think they fell on their face a little bit, But they did beat everyone they should, and that matters. And then they get Gonzaga back, which matters. And they're, you know, only maybe have to win one game. You don't have to win to get there. Top right, I know you said you were going to run with Kentucky. Honestly, I think Houston checks a lot of boxes for me. If you go to the Final Four the year before and return most people, I think you've seen the bright lights. You felt them. You know what it takes to get there, but maybe not what it takes to win it all. And that's the first step, is you got to get to the Final Four the year before. I think they're on their way. And then this Midwest is just such a mess. I'm just so
bad.
I'm so unmoved by everybody. So much so that this is terrible. Like, I can't even pretend to fall in love with somebody as I look at these things.
I have one suggestion.
Go for it.
TCU.
So you took it out of my, you took it from me. I was like, can I, was deciding if I could take McNeese State or TCU to the Final Four. And you did it for me. So I'm doing that. Jamie Dixon should have gotten better at Pitt. This is your time to shine. Finals, we're going to go. Houston versus Auburn. Houston takes it all. So,
oh, I didn't even do my championship. I'm
please.
All right, I'm going UConn over Arizona, Kentucky over Tennessee. I'm going to go chalk. I'm taking UConn. I won't pretend that I watched every one of these teams, but I have a hard time. I think they could go back to back.
I'm glad you got Coach Cal off the hot seat by going.
Because
they are so done with him.
Like, I'm looking out for my boy. If they lose early, he's probably going to get run out of town. But it'll be a shame. But that's my guy.
Coach. Michigan State, like we said, first game, enjoy it. 26 straight, cannot be overstated. There will be a day where your favorite team is not in this tournament, and you will experience something that almost every other college basketball fan has. And right now you have the ability to not feel that way, and that is something special. So enjoy.
Yes. Agreed.
It is just something amazing. And
even a snob like myself can appreciate it.
Who knows, man? Just man.
And enjoy the ride
and see what happens next. Really excited for this tournament. I'm really excited. I think it'll be fun no matter what. And I don't know, man. There's something deep down and sick inside of me that looks at Michigan State's 340 plus ranked luck and says, maybe it's our time. So I'll leave you with that.
I like that. Let's stay right there. All right, guys, go green. Let's get some wins. I would love to record again next week in a happy way. But until then, guys, thanks for sticking with us. John, it's been awesome. We'll catch you next week.
Yep.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.